This is Paul. As many of you know, Michaela Peterson did a conversation with Jonathan Peugeot, and it came out pretty much while I was talking to Jonathan Peugeot for the conversation that I posted end of last week. A number of people have been saying, oh, you should do a commentary on this. I probably won't, for a number of reasons. First, because she's a real person. And if you remember my conversation with Jonathan Peugeot, we're now in the strange reality where people are converting to Christianity on YouTube. And we're watching and it's being recorded. And this is, I have a lot of mixed feelings about this. Now, who am I to talk? Because I process vocally out loud on YouTube all the time. I'm also a man in his late 50s. So, yeah, what does this mean? I don't know. But Michaela has obviously now been, you know, had a child, her father's been sick, her father's gotten famous, she's gotten famous to a degree as a consequence of that, partially as a consequence to her own journey and the diet and all of this stuff. And now she's navigating something as, it's both tremendously intimate and also public, something like Christian conversion and transformation at a pretty low level of an identity in public on the internet. So as I, you know, as in my conversation with Jonathan Peugeot, there's just a lot we're going to learn through this, and people are going to get hurt. And I hope Michaela's not one of them. I've never met her, but I certainly wish her well. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of ups and downs. So, whereas when we're on the internet talking about ideas and that type of thing, that's one thing. People are another thing. And so we ought to have a lot of respect talking about people because people are image bearers of God. So this is going on. So that's my first point. Am I a little cautious about wading into this? Absolutely, because she's a real human being who is basically talking to the internet in real time. And I don't know how that goes or what it looks like or how it's helpful. This is just uncharted territory for us. There have been high status celebrity conversions. Bob Dylan, Cat Stevens. I mean, it happens in the world. But to self-document it in real time with an audience this large in this context, it's going to happen. We're going to learn from it, but it's the early adopter's risk that we're dealing with here. Okay, so that's the first point I wanted to make. Second point. There are actually two videos where she talks, there are probably more, and I'm sure you'll probably share them with me in the comment section, quite transparently about her faith. I've been walking around in hell. Michaela Peterson sits down with Michael Franzis. Interesting channel. I hadn't heard about his channel. Also a fairly good-sized, let's see, what was his channel? Fairly good-sized channel. A guy used to be in the mob, et cetera, et cetera. Really a lovely conversation between them, and she walks through a lot of her father's illness and her own transformation and a bunch of those kinds of issues. But there's a lot more detail that she gives in this video than in the Peugeot video. In the Peugeot video, it's much more exploration. Now, many of us in this little corner of the internet have a degree of sophistication with respect to all of the issues surrounding religious conversion, transformation, epistemology, theories about cognitive science, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Listening to Michaela, she's in many ways a normie. And that might sound strange for someone now who, for the last few years, has been sort of a celebrity vlogger. on YouTube, and I'm not on Instagram, but I'm sure on Instagram, and she's on Twitter a bit. I am on Twitter. I try to avoid Facebook, but I'm sure she's in all of the places. And she, like many, have managed to create a career and build for herself a vocation from social media. Back to my first point. But when she processes her faith and talks about exploration in terms of what's the difference between Protestant, Catholic, and Orthodox, you know, some of you who know a little bit sort of begin to realize the enormity of fielding a question like that. As a Christian minister, we do it all the time. And if you actually want to offer a helpful answer, what you're always doing is sort of just asking questions of the person to find out what their frame of reference is, and then trying to answer questions within that frame of reference so that they can actually have something useful to think about. Now, I did put a comment in there, and I gave my general piece of advice to someone who has had an experience like she's had. And again, what she discussed, what she shared here, is very, very common. It's not at all unusual for someone to get into a corner and then, usually at the advice of a friend, to somehow ask God for his presence or direction or something to happen, and then something does, and they pursue it. And what often develops is, depending on how far it goes, you can look at the parable of the soils in the Gospel of Matthew. It might be a faith life. It might be, and there's many different ways to frame this, a relationship with Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. She might start going to church. She might become a religious person. She might become a Christian. She's in Nashville, so she's surrounded by, Nashville is in some ways the heart of evangelical music. So, you know, there's going to be a ton of very sophisticated, there's a lot of Christian churches for her to look around and look for. But what she experiences when she goes in them will all be according to her own frame of reference. This is where the first personal rather than the third personal is so key. Because a lot of the advice that you'd read in the comment section given to her, it's all third personal. But what she's looking for is a way to enter in. And that's why if someone is interested, take this silly thing off. I wear this thing because it's just a really quick COVID mask. If I got to run in a store or something like that, you just flip it up, yeah, et cetera, et cetera. I often recommend that people ask a friend to take them to church. And a friend who is a Christian they'll be biased, of course, but all of us are, but they'll probably be able to say, okay, well, they might not even recommend their own church because they might say, well, my church is kind of weird, but I like it and I have friends there. Churches are not like choosing where to buy a smartphone or a camera it's not like picking between Amazon, Best Buy, or B&H Photo. Churches are communities. And it takes a while for people first to at least have an inkling of a community that they can sort of begin to get into, and then, in fact, to get into it with all of the complexities that a real human being has. Now, that's especially true if you're not just going and sitting in a chair at a mega church and absorbing it like a show in a theater. Now, there's a world to be said about the differences between how many different Protestant denominations and Catholicism and Orthodoxy. And the truth is, if she actually wants to pursue the Christian faith, she's going to have to find a way to get embedded in a community. And my recommendation would be that community be a church. Now, many people are embedded in some sort of Christian community that might not even be a church. It might be a little friendship group or a a book group or something like that. And again, I would recommend to not stop in something like that. You can always have things like that. But to go deeper and to actually find a community that has structure and organization and authority and leadership and expertise doesn't mean bad things won't happen, doesn't mean things won't go wrong, doesn't mean you might go a year or two and decide, no, this place really isn't for me and have to try going someplace else, et cetera, et cetera. All that kind of stuff happens. But you need a place to start because, especially if, as in her case, she wasn't raised with much of any of this. There's just a ton to take in, and it's all got to sort of come at you in a user-accessible way. You have to grow into it. Now, again, you learn this as a pastor because you walk with people through this, and you see, again, in Matthew 13, the parable of the soils, all kinds of different things happen. Sometimes people get real excited, but, you know, the roots are shallow. Sometimes, you know, the birds of the air come and pick up the seed and nothing ever goes. Some of it lands on good soil and it produces, you know, an abundant harvest. All of those things in the parable of the soils. And that's just four. You can extrapolate with many, many other situations. And part of the reason my channel has the kind of structure it does is because you have to meet every single person as an individual, as a pastor, and treat them as an individual. I was having a meeting with my cohort of CRC pastors and church planters in the area here. And, you know, we were talking about the crazy times that we live in, how in some ways our challenges are perennial. I'll read C.S. Lewis's Pilgrim Regress, and it reads very freshly, even today. One of my cohort on Twitter, Eric Dirksen from the Davis Church, you know, he tweets out Augustine all the time, and you can read Augustine's Confessions and find it fresh and challenging and say, wow, this was written in the 5th century, seems like today. Yeah. So there's an element that's perennial. There's also an element which I think was, you know, brought out nicely by the Jordan Peterson, Brett Weinstein, Heather Hying conversation, which is that we've got change happening so fast, and we have no idea how to respond to it all. And, well, what should churches do? Well, I'm very hard-pressed to say what churches should do, but I, as a pastor, know what I must do. And what I must do is what I am doing, which is you sit down with people individually, one-on-one, and you have a conversation with them. And in the process of a conversation, maybe, just maybe, a little bit of insight is gained and a little bit of knowledge is picked up. And right now, in a way, you know, there's tons of teaching on the internet, but anything you're getting through the internet, including this video or any video, is somehow disconnected with you. And you might be able to sort of graze through it and find a little nugget here or there and take that in. Or you might find a favorite YouTube channel. And don't get me wrong, you can do a tremendous amount of learning on YouTube. You can do a tremendous amount of learning on the internet, but none of it is any substitute for in-person relationships, face-to-face, belly to belly, nose to nose. This is how we form each other, and this is how communities are knit together and they grow. So, yeah, that's pretty much what I have to say about this right now. There were interesting conversations, but, you know, I felt for Jonathan because here he's pumped up by Michaela's father, and there's no way to easily answer in theory to a satisfactory degree many of the very legitimate and reasonable questions that people who are just beginning to explore Christianity have. It's sort of like reading a book about how to ride a bike or reading a book about how to be a better hockey player or baseball player. You can read a book and you can pick up some tips and you can do a lot of that, but you got to get on the field or on the ice. There's just no other way. And it takes time. It takes investment. It takes courage. But that's the only way to pursue it. So Why make a video like this? Well, partly because many of you asked for it, but also partly because I know many of you are in some ways in Michaela's shoes. And again, my advice is try and find a friend who you know and trust and respect who is a Christian, if you have one. If you don't, then it's a lot of cold calling and stopping into churches and, you know, working whatever relationships you might have for at least an initial recommendation and then to go from there. That can work. It just takes time and effort and no small amount of commitment. And as many of you will probably say in the comment section, I tried and it failed. And that's probably true. You can try to play hockey. You will fail for a long time because hockey is hard. You can try to play baseball. Hitting that little ball, especially if someone is pitching it fast, can be pretty hard. But playing the piano is hard. Playing the violin is hard. All of these things are hard. But most of the most worthwhile things in life are like that. And parenting is hard, but the kid demands it. And so you learn as you go. So, yep, there's my advice. Hope this is helpful.